Well, this is an interesting story we have today about people, and I'm Doris, and also in our classroom today,
Joe,
Linda C.
So we're all going to be some panelists on this subject, and it's a very interesting subject because it's about a person who's quite unusual. What do you think, Joe, as you read the article on page 42?
Well, I find that Brian's story is so interesting because, you know, sports I consider so visual, but then he's using hearing and using that to share with blind people who are trying to enjoy sports.
Now, that was pretty interesting. And it says here there are a title that is called Blind Aspirations. What does that title actually mean, Linda?
Well, an aspiration is a strong desire to do something, right? And the adjective blind, it's referring to his physical disability and that he can't see.
So you might think that a person who is blind would not have an aspiration to do something that you have to see. I mean, you would think that he would maybe be a pianist, he can hear the music, and I've heard about blind pianists, but you don't have to see anything so much if you can feel the keys, right? But he had aspirations to do something quite different than most blind people would have.
Right. So it mentions that Bryce, he's trying to be a baseball announcer, and that's a very interesting aspiration, I think.
I think so. For him, because he doesn't have sight. And so usually you want to see a baseball game if you're going to talk about it and report.
Well, I know.
It.
How can you talk about a game when you don't see it? And he's a blind baseball announcer? What do we call the baseball announcers usually?
We can call them a commentator.
Commentator.
Right. The commentator will give you sort of the play-by-play of a game.
What's happening and what they think about it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And a blind baseball announcer. And he aspires to. So if you have aspirations, then you have to make an effort to.
Right. Often, you know, I aspire to be a good Chinese speaker or aspire to be a historian.
Mm-hmm. So what does he try to make an effort to do?
He's trying to bring sports to fans with disabilities.
Okay. Now, he's not just trying to give everybody, but he wants to say those people who have disabilities, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to encourage them, isn't he?
Exactly.
And disabilities could be all kinds of disabilities, and certainly being blind would be considered a big disability.
Yes, yeah. So he is blind. Another disability would be a loss of hearing or other physical disabilities.
Right. Like if there's something wrong, like you only have one leg, you can't be a runner or player, any kind of disability would be something that you cannot do what other people do.
Right. It affects your life and what you can do.
Right. Okay, well, let's read about this Bryce Wheeler right now, and we're going to look at page 42, and we'll read the first section.
Blind aspirations. Blind baseball announcer aspires to bring sports to fans with disabilities. Blind since birth, Bryce Wheeler hears more at a ballpark than most people see. The sound of the bat tells him whether a ball is headed into the outfield or swerving out of play. The pop of a catcher's mitt signals whether a pitcher is still going strong or running out of steam. Picking up on such audio cues has helped 26-year-old Wheeler broadcast more than 100 baseball, basketball, and soccer games over the last 6 years. He serves as an analyst, dishing out statistics and stories in the pauses left by the play-by-play commentator, trying to give the audience a sense of what it feels like to be in the crowd.
Now, it says here that this Bryce is blind since birth. Some people become blind for some things that happens to them later, and they have an idea what things look like. But I don't know what it would be like to be blind from birth. That would be difficult, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm not sure, because if you never have sight, then if you haven't ever seen before, it's something that, you know, you don't miss. So I think it might be harder for people who have had sight and then they lose their sight because they miss something.
They don't know what they're missing.
Yeah.
No, but just imagine never seeing anything. Well, it's so hard to think of.
Right. And another thing is, once you lose that sight, you know, at first the way you interacted with the world was visual, and mm-hmm. now you have to learn an entirely new way
right.
of interacting, which is difficult, I think.
So I can see, like, if you want to hear something, like if you want to play the piano, you can hear if the note's right. But I don't see how he can hear at a ballpark more than most people see. That's a remarkable thing.
Right. And what's interesting here, that first paragraph, it starts to describe the way in which he hears. So, you know, depending on the sound of the bat making contact with the ball, he can tell you if it's going to be an outfield or where it's going to swerve. Even the pop of a catcher's mitt tells him so much. So when he hears something, he's getting so much information to share.
Right. Yeah. So his hearing is much better than our hearing, because when you lose one sense, or once you don't have one sense, another sense is heightened. So here, his hearing would be much more heightened than an average person.
But so because he can hear so much, you know, it's kind of hard because there's so many noises. I mean, there's people talking and shouting and other things going on. So in the middle of all that, he still can hear the bat. I mean, mm-hmm. you can hear these kind of noises yourself when you're at a ballpark, but there's so many other noises, so he has to figure out which are the noises that affect the game.
Right, and you can really tell that he's trained himself. You know, notice the pop of a catcher's mitt, it signals, it tells him, oh, is the pitcher going strong, or is he running out of steam? Is he starting to get tired?
Yeah, to run out of steam is kind of an expression that we use. When do we use that?
We use it when we're running out of energy or we're losing energy. We don't have as much as before.
You know, sometimes at the end of the day, you say, oh, I'm kind of running out of steam today. I'm a little tired or something. Mm-hmm.
Right. I think of the old steamboats, right? And
yeah.
if you're running out of steam, that means your boat stopped in the water.
You can't go very fast, right? Yeah. So he can tell, because if the pitcher is throwing the ball very hard, it'll make a strong sound when it hits the mitt.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not very strong, then he says, uh-oh, that pitcher's getting tired.
He's running out of steam.
And you can't see anything. That's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
Really is. So he picks up on this audio cues. He gets a cue from this, and it has helped him. And how old is he now? He's 26,
26.
Right? It's helped him to broadcast even more than 100 games. What kind of games?
All sorts of games. He's done baseball, basketball, soccer. He's been doing over the last 6 years.
Now, there would be different sounds in all of those games, wouldn't there? What if he can do tennis, too? Maybe he can even do tennis.
Right. But, you know, I think for each sport, he has to learn the different types of sounds that gives him different signals and those audio cues. You know, the way the ball's bouncing, the way it's moving, the swoosh of the net.
That really seems, you know, almost impossible, doesn't it? But he also serves as an analyst. Now, what do analysts actually do?
So an analyst is, of course, looking at information and trying to kind of make sense and figure out what that information means and how it can be useful.
And what he does then, after he hears these things, then he dishes out statistic. Dishing out something is a way to say what?
Right, he gives out this information. He disseminates.
Tells everybody else.
Yeah, so he's dishing out statistics, and those that's just numerical data.
Right, play-by-play commentator. Like, let's say you'll say, well, the pitcher's getting tired now, and he can say all that, and he can't even see it. He doesn't even see the pitcher.
Right, and that play-by-play means you're getting every small little detail. It's not just, oh, they got this point. It's who threw the ball, how far did it go, and all that information.
Right. Well, he hit the play, and he hit the ball, and it went out into the center field. He can't even see it, but he can say that.
He can say it. It's so interesting.
Yeah, it's quite amazing.
Isn't it amazing? And why is he doing this? What is he trying to let the audience feel?
Right. He wants the audience, who maybe isn't able to see or isn't there at all, to feel what it's like to be in that crowd, at that venue, playing that game, just being an actual spectator.
Right. He wants them to feel the excitement of the game.
Right, get that
and
energy.
So he wants other people who have disabilities to feel it, too, that even though they don't see the ball game, they can enjoy it. He wants them to enjoy sports, too, doesn't he?
Right. It seems like he wants everyone to be involved.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And so It's really amazing. I've never heard of anybody doing that. There's a picture of him right here, and you can see his eyes closed in the picture. What does it say under the photo?
Well, he brings his phone closer to his ear while announcing a few innings for Georgia Tech, which is a university, while they play another university, University of Illinois at Chicago at the Curtis Granderson.
There he is. Looks like he's asleep almost. His eyes are closed, but he's blind, you know. And he's sitting there doing that. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Right. Well, you notice, you know, if you look at that picture on page 42, he seems so completely focused.
Exactly.
Because, Doris, like you were saying, there's all this extra noise. People are cheering, having fun, but he has to focus in on those audio cues real close.
It's just amazing. Well, I can see where he might take one sport, you know, like baseball and study it and you know what it is. But you get into basketball, that's another sound.
Mm-hmm.
And soccer. I mean, soccer even. How can he tell? That's kind of hard to figure that out.
Yeah, I guess he listens to how hard the players kick the ball. And yeah.
Right. Because, you know, it's interesting. You could probably come up with a system, right? You know, a harder sound means there's more energy. It's bouncing more. I don't know. I can't quite imagine it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't imagine how he can do soccer because they're running. And, you know, it doesn't make that much noise like it does in baseball when they hit the ball.
True.
But somehow he's been doing it. How long has he been doing this?
It says he's been doing it 6 years.
So since he was 20 years old then. 26 years old now. And that is absolutely amazing. So this is why we call it a people article. But I would say it is a people and sports article.
That's right.
And he's trying to make sports interesting for people who perhaps are blind or have other disabilities.
Right.
So that's a very interesting way to start the lesson, but he had to overcome many different things. It wasn't easy. Do you think it was easy for him to do that?
No, not at all.
No.
No, because not just are there issues with like technical skills, but also a whole industry that maybe doesn't accept that kind of announcer or commentator.
I know. No, right. I should say.
You have to overcome prejudice.
Who's going to hire somebody like that? So he had to overcome adversity. And what is adversity?
Adversity is any sort of trial or struggle, something that you have to work against to complete your goal.
Right. And I think a lot of people have adversity in their life, things that have hindered them. It could be all kinds of things. But let's find out how he overcame his adversity. So let's read the next section today at the bottom of page 42. And let's read the end of that and the next column.
Overcoming adversity. Breaking into the sports business isn't easy for anyone, usually requiring years of dues paying and frenetic networking. But experts say people with disabilities have an especially tough time. Weiler was born with a disorder that diminishes the sight of premature infants by causing abnormal blood vessels to grow throughout their retinas. He has never been able to see much more than light and shadow, and now even that is fading. But growing up, he listened to ball games and was hooked. He attended a college with a robust sports program and a radio station that relies on student participation. Weiler went to see station manager Tom Benson about calling games.
"My first reaction was a skeptical, okay," Benson recalled. "I said, you know you'll have to do more than other people to do this job." He said, "That's never been a problem."
Weiler started out providing commentary for the women's basketball team. He soon added soccer, baseball, and softball to his repertoire.
Now, when some people have trials and problems, they just give in to them and don't do anything. But he is an overcomer. He overcame his adversity, didn't he?
Exactly. Although he was born blind, he didn't let that stop him from doing what he really wanted to do to keep him from pursuing his passion.
That's true. And it says here that he is breaking into the sports business. Now, when you break into something, when there's something that you've never done before, and it's brand new to you, you could use this term, couldn't you?
Right. You can break into different kinds of industries.
Why do you break into it anyway? It's hard.
It's hard. You know,
You don't just flow into it. You have to break into it, right?
Right. We often think of industries having a wall, and you have to kind of know who's the right person, have the right skills. We call it breaking into an industry.
So is it easy to really to get into sports business for anybody?
I can't imagine. I imagine that there are very famous commentators, but that pool of people must be very small.
It is. It's very small.
Yeah. You probably have to work really hard or have the right connections to get into.
That's true. So it isn't easy for anybody. And what does it usually require?
So here it mentions, requires putting in time, dues paying, and frenetic networking. And frenetic I find to be very interesting. You're being very active, you're going around, there's a lot of energy in that networking, finding new friends.
When we talk about this paying your dues, you know, sometimes when you do something and it has problems in it, you have to pay your dues. Now, why would they use an expression like that? What does that mean, dues paying?
Well, in order to achieve or gain whatever he wanted to gain, he had to go through hardship, he had to maybe do a lot of hard work or even suffer to get to where he wants to be.
And we can think of a lot of people who have done that. Like sometimes you have to do something for years in order to get some kind of a jindingjiang or award, because you know, you don't just say, oh, you're famous. You have to do a lot of things. You have to pay your dues. You have to work hard. You have to be successful, and you have to let people know about you. We call that paying your dues, don't we?
Right. And it happens over a longer period of time. It just doesn't happen overnight.
No.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Linda. It takes time. You have to put in time.
Right. So it isn't like paying money, but you pay time and you pay energy and effort. And, of course, you work very hard. You don't just sit there. It doesn't happen to you, right?
Right. It's not just going to magically happen. You have to work at it.
Yeah. And not only takes hard work, but you also need the right connection. So that's why he was frenetically networking, trying to make the right connections with people.
But of course, the experts will say this, and we know that's true. Even if they didn't say it, we might know that, because people with disabilities would have a tough time. We know that, right?
Right, absolutely. And, you know, people, it says it's an especially tough time for people with disabilities, because not only do you have to do the networking, not only do you have to put in your time, but you also have to deal with a whole other set of struggles and adversity.
So it's not easy. And now, how come he was born with this anyway? What happened to him that he was born blind?
Well, he was born with a disorder that diminishes or reduces the sight. And this is usually happens, I guess, in premature infants.
Premature infants
born too early.
Before the 9 months, right?
Right, before their due date.
And okay. So this causes abnormal blood vessels to grow throughout their retinas.
Like the retinas, they're sending and receiving those signals for sight. And you have blood vessels going around through them, so it's disrupting the ability to see.
That's strange. I never heard about that. I know that when babies are born prematurely, there's often they will have seizures or brain problems, won't they?
Yeah, they
might. It's usually in your head.
Right. These are sort of developmental disorders take on many different forms, and this one specifically affects the development of the eye.
So that's why he was born that way. And he's never been able to see much more, but he did see a little bit of light maybe and shadows. So I don't know how they found out what he could see. He could see shadows, but not really anything. It wasn't just black, right?
Right. I imagine he would be able to describe parts of what he could see. And what's kind of sad to read is that even that little bit of light shadow is also diminishing. It's also fading.
So that's kind of sad in a way, but it depends on what you make out of it. And I think he probably had good parents who encouraged him to do things no matter what. Because sometimes if your child has a disability, you can't just say, oh, that's too bad, they can't do anything. You need to encourage them to do something, don't you think?
Yeah, he probably had encouraging parents.
I think so, you know, to help him. Well, growing up, he also liked to listen to ball games. He loved to listen to them. In fact, he liked it so much that he was hooked on them.
Right. So when you're hooked on something, you are attached to it. You are so interested. It's almost an all-consuming interest. You can be hooked on all sorts of things.
Yeah, we can say that you're addicted to it.
I hope you're all hooked on listening to Advance.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we get hooked on things. Some people get hooked on computer games or you're hooked on eating something. It means that you kind of just can't get along without it.
I've recently gotten hooked on cycling. I used to be afraid of riding bicycles in Taipei, and now I'm all over it. I'm going all over the place.
That's because we've got so many bike paths now, which is good. Don't get in the traffic, okay?
Okay.
But anyway, he's hooked on it. And you notice that he attended college, so blind people now, they can use Braille and different ways of studying and reading, and he went to college, didn't he?
Exactly, and it was a college with a robust sports program, or a very strong sports program, and a radio station.
Right, and the radio station let the students take part in it, so they could be announcers.
Hi, everyone, and welcome
and
back.
They let them listen or report the games. Maybe they had, you know, football games, basketball games, and the students could be the reporters, right?
Right. So there are lots of good early opportunities to learn the sets of skills he would need later on.
And so what did he do then? Because he liked sports. So what did he do about it when he was in college?
Well, he went to the radio station manager, and he asked if he could call the games, if he could commentate, be a commentator for these games.
Now, imagine that they were very surprised when, well, you're blind, huh? I mean, yeah.
Yeah, they probably wondered, well, how are you going to do that?
I'm fine.
Right. I could almost imagine that reaction. Like, well, are you sure you can do this job?
Yeah, said he was skeptical, and to be skeptical means that you rather doubt something.
Right. It's sort of doubt, kind of almost very, I don't know, looking down almost a little, very skeptical.
No, it's just that you wonder if they can. You're not sure that they could do that. But what did he say?
So the station manager reminds him that he'll have to do more, that Bryce is going to have to overcome more to do this job. And Bryce just accepts that. He says, that's never been a problem.
So he had the right attitude, didn't he?
Yeah, because it's probably something he's used to. He knows that he has to work harder than the average person because of his disability.
And he liked sports, so he thought, I can do it. There's no reason not to. So then what happened?
Well, he started to provide that commentary for the women's basketball team. And before you know it, he's just adding sport after sport after sport into his repertoire, into his list.
That's right. He started providing a commentary for them. And a commentary is just announcing what's going on during the time. You are commenting on what's happening.
Right, as it happens.
As it happens. So he started out with the basketball team. And then adding all these other sports. And now when we have a repertoire, that can be used for a lot of different things, can't it?
Exactly. So it's a range of our skills or abilities, the things that we can do.
Like if you're a singer, you have a repertoire. These are the songs that you know how to sing. Well, how else could you use that word?
Oftentimes, you know, repertoire can be a set of skills. And so here, you know, his repertoire is the different sports that he can do commentary for.
Right. So he has a list of the different ones, not just baseball, but I can do this and this. So that would be the set of things that he could do. So this is an amazing story, and we're going to find out more about it as we read about it tomorrow. We're going to have 2 days to talk about this man. But we've learned some good words today, too. And I hope that you won't run out of steam while you're listening or studying the lessons. But we've got some good idioms today, haven't we?
Yes, we did.
And a lot of people listening have already paid their dues for a lot of things. They've already done things a long time, so we hope they'll be successful.
You know, one of the things, I recently met someone. I was helping a blind person walk across the street, and, you know, I tried to speak Chinese, but he can obviously tell I'm from the United States because he has amazing hearing. And he said, oh, do you like basketball? I said, no, I don't really watch. And he goes, oh, I watch basketball every week. And I said, excuse me? He goes, right, I listen to the games. And I found out that, like Bryce, this young man had been listening to the Lakers play games week in, week out for years.
Tell him to listen to the program.
Right.
It
was just amazing that this individual who's never seen a basketball game knows way more about basketball than I ever would.
Mm. So we'd encourage parents whose children do have disabilities. There's a lot of places where they can go and get help, but encourage them. We had one of our teachers that was here for a while, later went to Singapore, and he's got a big business now, and he had polio when he was little, and he couldn't walk, and he had to have crutches ever since he was little. But his parents made him walk up and down the stairs and do everything, and he became a scuba diver.
Oh, wow.
And here he can't even, he doesn't have use of his legs. Mm-hmm. But isn't that interesting? So your kids can do things. If they aspire to do something, don't discourage them. Encourage them.
Exactly.
Right. I also wonder if, you know, how the parents must have felt at first having a child that was blind.
Oh, they just felt sad.
But to be able to encourage and say that, you know, your disability doesn't have to limit you.
No.
To what
you're
you can
do. You're a person, you can do it, right? What do you think?
Yeah, and adversity doesn't have to come in the form of a physical disability. Sometimes people have
earthquakes, or they have earthquakes, and things happen to their house.
Right, or they're limited by their environment or where they are born.
Right.
So, but you don't have to allow those things to
you have to overcome.
You.
So don't let adversities get you down. Say, I can do it. I can. And we'll come back to the lesson tomorrow and see what else we can find out about this interesting young man. See you then, everyone. Goodbye.